The following story was submitted by Joan Sprague. Taking chances doesn't pay. The river is dangerous night and day. The sign stood as a warning to anyone who dared to tempt fate and become a victim of sucking whirlpools or the rushing waters of the dam. Boys being boys, and with no swimming pool due to the 1946 polio epidemic that closed most public venues, my older preteen brother and his friends paid no heed, swam in it, fished it, and dived to its bottom for clams during the hot, humid days. Living at the top of the hill on 4th Avenue Southwest in Moorhead, the Red River was a part of our everyday life. With the footbridge crossing it, we had easy access to Fargo, until the massive ice sheets from the flood of 1947 took it out, replacing it with one on pontoons. Dahmer's Boathouse was a favorite place to hang around and watch people on the river in the rented rowboats and canoes, or those diving from the three-level diving platform midstream, which was removed after a local boy broke his back in a dive. Just to the north of the boathouse, only the width of the street plus a few paces was the dam. In the spring, fish fought their way up and over to spawn upstream, so fishermen were out with poles, but not my dad. He brought a garden rake and some gunny sacks for the catch, stood at the edge of the dam and raked in the fish. It was fun watching him snag them and toss them into the air as we all yelled and screamed to avoid being slapped by the slimy projectiles. Onto the ground they'd flip and flounder until Dad would determine if there were any northern pike to keep. Never. Suckers and bullheads. He'd throw them back into the churning water where they'd try again to bridge the dam for their upstream passage. After the footbridge was destroyed, Frank Dahmer provided a ferry service for those who needed to get to Fargo. For 10 cents apiece, he'd row us across the river to a platform on the bank, and if we told him we would be coming back, he'd watch for us and quickly jump into his boat to retrieve us. Without a car, my dad used his service daily, relying on it to get him across for his walk through Island Park and got to his job in downtown Fargo. Frank was always reliable, even in the early morning. I believe he would ferry people up until 9 or 10 at night, and then shut down unless a later time had been arranged. On Saturdays or Sundays, we kids would go to the movies in Fargo, and as our allowances were only a quarter, we would opt for a one-way ride with Dahmer, leaving us with the necessary 12 cents for the movie, and walk to Front Street Bridge on the way back. With 4 or 5 of us seated, Dahmer would pull on the oars and ease us away from the dock, get midstream, and slow his rowing, teasing us by allowing the pull of the dam to draw us nearer to its edge, while we screamed and begged him to row faster. He put the fear of God in us that we'd be pulled over what seemed to us like Niagara Falls, and a sure drop to our deaths by drowning. The floods were always exciting when we were kids, watching the river rise each day. Already a peninsula, 4th Avenue Southwest became an island, with water encroaching from the west, both north and south, to the edge of Elm Street, to the east. The following is an excerpt concerning the flood of 1947 from The Best of Here and Now, a biography I wrote with my mother, Margaret Bunn Prague. The thick ice on the Red River began its thaw, and loud cracking sounds echoed through the valley, signaling the ice flow. The family stood at the river's edge, at the bottom of a hill, watching it crash over its dam. Great sheets of ice, 6 to 10 feet in depth, stood at oblique angles as they moved along the river's course and over the natural banks, tearing down trees in its way. Finally, with the force of tons, it swept out the footbridge, leaving only splintered supports on the bank. As the ice thawed, the river swelled, carrying remnants of barns, farm machinery, drowned animal carcasses, and vegetation. It crept steadily over its banks, while residents kept watch. It flowed onto the foot of 4th Avenue, while families hurriedly began evacuating with possessions. Soon, small motorboats were used as moving vehicles, carrying household possessions up the streets to waiting trucks. The river crept slowly into the backyard, across the street, stopping at the foot of the Sprague Brown driveway. My grandparents, who lived on First Street South, moved their household goods to our porch to wait out the flood. Each day they traveled by motorboat to inspect the river's rise at their house, which at its peak covered the entire building, showing only a small portion of the roof. Downtown, the river rose to only a few feet below the bridges, and the railroad bridge serving the Great Northern and Union Pacific Railroad lines was in danger of being impassable, shutting off needed supplies to the east and west. The river finally peaked. 32 feet sticks in my brain. As it receded, it deposited its soils, dead animal carcasses, fish, remnants of machinery, trees, splintered furniture, and small buildings. Watching this liquid parade was a pastime enjoyed by the kids, the boys especially delighting in attempts to walk atop water-soaked logs or in throwing rocks at objects to watch them sink and again pop up. During one of the floods, my younger brother and sister, along with a few of their friends, stood at the water's edge throwing rocks and fishing around with sticks. My brother's stick hooked onto what appeared to be just a jacket, but as he tried to pull it closer, it became evident to their horror that it was a body. After a few more tugs, they brought it closer to shore and called the police, who were soon at the scene. It was the body of a man that had been in the river for some time. The incident would be forever etched on their minds, and the sign posted with its warning, "Taking chances doesn't pay. The river is dangerous night and day," would take on more intense meaning. A pontoon bridge replaced the old footbridge, making the passage to Fargo easier for those on the south side of Moorhead, and served us through the late spring, summer, and fall. During the winter, the bridge was anchored to the Moorhead side, while nature provided the frozen river as a stable walkway. It was positioned again in the spring once the ice moved out. We grew into teenagers, hanging around the jukebox at Dahmer's Boathouse during the warm afternoons and early evenings, listening to music, dancing, drinking pop, and eating ice cream. Our friendships flourished, our lives forever bonded, and the boathouse, in retrospect, became a shrine to the memories of growing up along the banks of the Red River. We lived on 4th Avenue Southwest until December 1955, through several more floods, but moved before the property was bought and houses moved or demolished for the rerouting of the Red River for a flood control project and the construction of a new dike. Our childhood home and play areas would forever be glimpses of photographs and long-ago memories.